Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
You know, after a while, when the internet goes down and the live feed goes down, and then the sound system doesn't work and the water doesn't work, you're like, woo! So here's what I said. Here's what I said. Lord, what is this? What is this, a sign? Or is this going to be a great day? What is it? And I went back into a vision that I had at a large church in Houston, Texas, when I first started.
We got water.
I know, I can hear it. I was in Houston, Texas, and Papa Jack was bragging on this church. This is the best kingdom church in the nation. This is a kingdom this. And I'm sitting there prophetically going, you don't know what you're talking about. And I went into a vision and I saw some structures within the foundation of that church were rotten, corrupt, and was not going to make the shift. And now I was building relationship with Papa Jack, and my thought was, how is he going to like this word? This is the best church. This is the greatest this, because it was big and it supported him well, and he had relationship. But there was a corruption within the foundation of that body. And I didn't have as much wisdom as I have now, and I decided to tell him. And I did. And he got mad. He didn't like it. He didn't agree with it. Told me I was wrong. I don't believe what you're seeing is true. I said, okay, we'll find out. 2 years later, the church blew up. They murdered the pastor, and then he called me for prayer. I'm like, all right, why are you calling me? I already told you what the problem was. So this morning, I said to the Lord, what's going on? The internet's going on. The water's here. What's going on here? Is this something I need to get up and step up and deal with? And he says, no, you're good. He says, but you've been building the foundation in this church. I went back to that vision that I saw in Houston. And he said, son, you're building a solid foundation here. Do you realize that we're coming to we're at the beginning of a new year, a Jewish new year. If you studied your spiritual walk as I have, there's a cycle that all hell breaks loose when you enter into a new year or into a new mandate. And about September to November, you would just like to quit for a while. Okay, there's this cycle of, oh my gosh, God's telling me something new. And you go through this warfare, because if the enemy can back you off what God said, you won't believe it. The Holy Spirit will never empower you to walk with it. And so it's nothing but a gut check to see if you're going to really believe what God said. And we're in that season. And so this morning when I saw the foundation of this church, he said, there's no corruption here. You're building it solid. You realize how little I have preached this year. You that have been here, do you realize I've probably only preached about 9 times all year? What does that mean? That don't mean that I can't preach. It means that I've been building an apostolic team here. The 16th, coming up at the 16th, Karen Simmons is preaching Sunday morning. I've given her extreme guidelines. She can teach to the nth degree as a teacher, and that's not what I want. She's been running into the nations, she's been going into conferences, and she's packing, and she's about to explode. What I want from her is to unpackage what God has been giving her, and I've told her, I want an apostolic prophetic impartation into this body. And so leadership, I'm telling you, what I've put a demand on her to do, we need to structure. That's the 16th. On September the 30th, I've instructed Michael Shannon. He said he believes God showed him some things about some idols. He's an elder. He sits in a fivefold prophetic seat, in a pastoral seat of the fivefold, and we need that from him. And I'm looking for the same kind of demand, impartation into the body, into the house. I have a call to the nations, And the issue is, I'm called to bring teams. You look at what Gary and Kathy and Karen are doing, they're ready to go into their deliverance ministry. That's a portion of what people need. We have influences. I have influences in other churches and other cities and other, and we're, God's putting some things together. So this morning I saw that our foundation is solid. Our core is solid. You know, sometimes when you know you're okay, it's like, bring that buzzsaw on. Let's make sure it's sharp. Bring it on. And it's kind of where I'm at right now. I said all that to say this, that now I'm going to preach. I'm really not going to preach. I want to share some things. I sat on the beach yesterday and got this message. The title of this message is When He Comes. When He Comes. You know, if you look at John chapter 15, 18 through 27, basically he's saying to his disciples, expect persecution. How many have been persecuted lately? Well, let me sing you a song. You ain't seen nothing yet. Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because I'm telling you what, because the devil's about to ratchet up. And if you don't know who you are, you're going to back up instead of ratchet up. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something. I believe God is going to release the enemy on some of us to be persecuted, so we will put a demand on who he says we are and take back territory. Otherwise, we get complacent in our walk. But here's the issue is Jesus taught his disciples. Let's go to verse 18. Just remember, when the unbelieving world hates you, they hated me first. If you were to give your alliance to the world, they would love and welcome you as one of their own. But because you don't align yourself with the values of this world, they will hate you. I have chosen you and taken you out of the world, and now you're mine. So listen, if you got some persecution coming from some demonic things, even if there's people who claim to be Christians, sometimes the greatest persecution is in your own house or in your own church or in your own relationships. You're going to have to figure out who God is in your life. So remember what I taught you, that a servant isn't superior to his master. That word master can be translated superior to your redeemer. Just change that to redeemer. And since they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And if they obey my teachings, they will also obey yours. What is he saying? As the enemy ratchets up, you ratchet up, they'll obey you. The problem is we're not bold enough. We've gotten so stinking political correct, we're afraid to tell them what Jesus said. You're just mean to the homosexuals. Not really, I'm just going to cast it out. I'm not mean, I love you, but that thing needs to go. Oh, that's not politically correct. No, but it's biblically good. Bunch of pansies. They will treat you this way because you are mine or because of my name. And they don't know the one who sent me. It goes back to the Father. And I'm going to tell you, the Father is looking for some people right now, today, in this room, who have been walking with Jesus and have been able to hear the Holy Spirit, that they can teach you who he is, because he wants to show up. And I'm telling you, if you've come to the Father without listening to the Holy Ghost and being educated on who Jesus is, the Father's glory will burn you. Who's ever been in the thick cloud glory of God, and it's like breathing liquid love? It's terror. It scares you because you think he's killing you, and he is. But what he's bringing to you is a life in him that you never knew. And once you've tasted it, you can't describe it? And you can't package it. You got to live it. Cha-ha. If I have not come and spoken these things to the unbelieving world, they would not feel the guilt of their sin, but now their sin is left uncovered. 23, if anyone hates me, they hate my Father also. If I had not performed miracles in their presence like no one else has done, they would not feel the guilt of their own sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. All of this has happened to fulfill what is written in the scriptures, written in the law. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? The religious Jews. I'm going to tell you know who he's talking to today? The religious Christians that have watered down who he is, who've watered down the Holy Ghost and who he's representing. He's not a dove. He's a person. He comes in the form of a dove. It's a he. When he comes, they hated me for no reason.
Pick on me for no reason.
Good. You're just like Jesus. Shut up. A little getting offended because he cooks good. That wasn't persecution. That was love. I know. Someone as fat as me should not be picking on people that actually cook. Okay, the kingdom showed up because joy just hit me. They hated me for no reason. Verse 26. I will send you the divine encourager. The divine encourager. That's translated. What is it translated? Redeemer from the curse. The one redeemed you from the curse. For the very presence of my Father. Listen to this. He will come to you. He will come to you. Listen, this is Jesus' final instructions to a group of religious Jews who have never experienced the Holy Spirit. Here's the problem. They experienced the Holy Spirit walking with and through Jesus, but they themselves had not experienced. And the one who's carrying, packing the fullness of God himself in the form of a bodily Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, is saying to them, what has happened to me will happen to you. The encourager, the one who's redeemed. By the way, I'm the redeemer. And when I get done redeeming, I'm sending him. He's talking to the religious. He goes, listen, the sky's the limit. And by the way, I created the sky. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. A blind-eyed black man with a box on his head could sit there for 10 minutes to 2 hours until he heard God. He would stand up and say, okay, God, what are we doing in here? And they look out and there'd be a mist. There'd be a cloud of God's glory in the building to where the kids were playing hide-and-go-seek in his presence. Come on, dude. Yeah, a boldness comes out of this man, and a man comes up, he has a wooden leg, and he says, I need prayer because where my leg was amputated, it now is infected and has gangrene where the wood part of my wood stump is. Will you pray for the infection? He goes, no, take that thing off. I'll pray for the leg, and it grows back. Some of us, you're wanting your infection to be healed, and God's trying to provoke you to get a new leg. Yeah. You want your marriage. Oh, I want to have a peace with my wife. No, God wants you to be one. No, a little dab will not do you when the glory shows. But I'm telling you, it's about the Holy Spirit. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, he will never be able to teach you who Jesus is, who Jesus was, and what Jesus accomplished, and you'll never be handed off and know who the Father is. I'm telling you, when the glory comes, you'll know who Daddy is. But there's a progression of knowing the Holy Spirit. The church, are we live streaming? It might be for their benefit. Nah, I'm not going there. I'm tired of Pentecostals claiming that Pentecostals are better than those that aren't and have no power. Oh, do you shunda Honda? No, I drive a Honda. I don't drive a Hyundai. I drive a Honda. I don't care if you speak in tongues, but it, I mean, I do care. I'm not Jesus. I'm not watering it down. But when you haven't changed your personality to be nice, you haven't changed your grace to be graceful, when you haven't walked in power and realized that God wants to grow legs back, fingers back, heal marriages supernaturally, have cancers fall off the faces because he's that good, then what good is your Shandai Hyundai? Listen, I'm preaching to me first. God's telling me he is going to come when he comes. See, the problem is he showed up. He just hasn't been able to come. In 1995, 40,000 people in a stadium, Promise Keepers, crying out to God, have you called me to preach? Have you really called me to preach? All of a sudden, you can see this gold cloud come into this and lands on me. 50 yards around me, everybody's slain in the spirit, and God starts talking. He shows me my call. He shows me my cost. It scares me. One idiot thought that maybe I was in sin and wanted to come pray for me, and God threw him backwards. It's an encounter. I cried. What do you do? The glory. That voice that I've been walking with started vibrating like thunder. So I cried till about 1:32, got composure. Went back into the stadium. Okay, Jesus, let's comprehend this. What happened? There, start worshiping. Same cloud, same stadium. Jumps all over me again. Here's what he said. If you'll walk with this, with the anointing in you, in relationship, I will actually release the anointing on you to do the ministry. I didn't know what that meant. I've tasted it. I've seen it. Listen, here's my frustration. I've seen it. I've tasted it. I've walked in it. But why am I not now? Because it's taken me this long to get rid of thinking. It's taken me this long to get my identity straightened out, that it's about him and not me. But I'm telling you, he didn't show me that to just make me mad. He showed me that so he would mold me into his image. I want an Azusa Street out of 777 Deltona Boulevard. If I got to put a box over my head to get away from the fear of man, to have him, I'll do it. It's about him. It's about when he comes. My question is, individually, has he come to you? If he hasn't, he wants to. He wants to give you an encounter that makes you jump past your bitterness, give you an encounter that jumps past your unforgiveness, gives you an encounter that you're willing to be a pastor when you know you're not gifted in pastoral gifting. But I'm done pastoring. I'm an apostle and I'm a prophet. I'm building a team. I have pastors. I have evangelists. I have teachers in my relationships. And we're about to see something here. But I'm going to tell you something. He's sending people into this house that when I could ask the question, has he come? And they start telling their stories. The book I'm reading about Azusa Street is stories of teenagers walking in glory that birth denominations who claim to be Pentecostal but have very little power. I don't want to be a Pentecostal that has no power. And I don't want to make Pentecostalism my message. It's Christ. It's Christ crucified. Power of the Holy Ghost. Know the Father. God's doing something here. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth, imitating what is from the Father, and he will speak. He will speak. That word speak is he will provide evidence. Provide evidence. Someone's leg growing back is pretty good evidence. A guy comes in, got his two fingers cut off from a machine, walks in with a bloody rag. He goes, I've lost two fingers today at work. Could you pray that the bleeding won't stop? And he goes, undo that bandage. God, just grow them back. And two fingers grow back. Some of you are going, really? The problem is we haven't made an environment for a habitation for the Father to manifest his creative nature. That's creative. I like fingers and toes, and I like that stuff. The shoulder grows out. Dude, this is documented. So over 100 years ago, and there's prophecies that he's coming back in that same kind of power. He will come. And when he comes, verse 8 of 16, he will expose sin, prove the world is wrong about God's righteousness and his judgment. Sin because they refuse to believe who I am. God's righteousness because I'm going back to join the Father and you'll see me no more. And judgment because the ruler of this dark world has already received his sentence. Here's what it says. In essence, sin, righteousness, and judgments are related to three persons. Sin is related to Adam, for it was through Adam that sin entered humanity. Romans 5:12. Righteousness is related to Christ because it comes through him and he has become our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Judgment is related to Satan, for the pure works of Christ being judgment to the works of Satan. If we do not embrace Christ's righteousness, we will share Satan's judgment. Has he come? Because I'm telling you, when he comes, you'll quit judging yourself as unworthy. Because you'll know who's unworthy. And it ain't you. I've had two occasions where I needed some encouragement. And twice, this man, Ken Jones, has come up and ministered to me about the Holy Spirit. They've been in our fellowship, what now? 2 months? Ken, come on up. This is family day. I want to introduce you to our family. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your wife and Jeff. I did remember his name.
Well, I'm Ken Jones. I was born a long time ago. As far as I'm going to go in that area, I did not choose the Lord. The Lord chose me. I had a wife that prayed for me, taking a walk with a relative every day that God would get a hold of me. And then at one point in our life, it's all sort of written out, so I'll probably be out of line, dear, because I ain't got it in front of me. I had a big argument with my wife, and she left me, and she was gone. And while she was gone,
that sounds familiar.
The Holy Spirit was working on her, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit was working on me. I think I got the hard end of it. But I at that point, I received the Holy Spirit because of sitting and praying, asking for forgiveness from her. She wasn't even there. Well, you can see we're still together. It'll be quite a few years, about 49, be 50 years pretty soon here.
Man, you're going to have Jubilee after a while.
And we have been together in ministry for a long time. Okay? In other words, we stay together. Why? Because we need to be together. Because what brought us together was the Holy Spirit. What formed us was the Holy Spirit. What made me and changed me had to be the Holy Spirit. And things started happening after this, of what I just told you, pretty quickly. And to be honest with you, it scared me. I was asked to be a pastor. No way. Okay? I'm scared, you know, speaking at that time, not anymore. But I went forward and I decided, okay, I wanted more of God. Remember, I had a little bit here now, hungry. God got me hungry. It's sort of like you guys today. I wish you'd shut up so I can go eat that food. I'm hungry. Okay. So anyway, at that point in time, I had been in the car business, managing large car dealerships. Well, at this time, I took a job in a little bitty 10 by 10 building. I had about 7 cars out there, and if I had 3 people show up to talk to me in a day, I was busy. So I started, and I took the Berean courses because I wanted more of God. So I went through several of the ones of the Old Testament, which was boring, okay, to me anyway. And I got into this one little book, and in that book happened to be 2 things, Holy Spirit and prayer. So I started studying that and reading that. Well, I made a deal with God. I honestly did. I said, okay, God, I'm going to go to church and we'll give up my noon time. I've never been able to go home and eat with my wife, but the owner of the place said I could. But I'm going to go to church. I'm giving you 30 days. I want to understand it. So I went to church for prayer every day. I prayed and spent 1 hour in prayer every day. And then my wife joins me. Pray, and then people heard about it because she was probably talking. And they would show up. And the first one or two that showed up had some problems and they wanted prayer. I reached up, this finger, touched there, laid hands, prayed, and it went out. Scared the heck out of me. I thought I killed him. And then that got out. And then all of a sudden, the church, noontime during the week, had as many people as Sunday.
Come on.
God showed up. People were getting saved, people were getting changed, people were getting healed. And I'm sitting here, not even know. But things transferred inside of me. I could feel the power flow through me into them. I also could go to a point that was way beyond any imagination. We had people start calling us at midnight. We had people come to our house. One of the first ones was a little gal, what was her name? Shelly. She came in our house. We didn't really know her. She went to the same church, very quiet, came up and sat down at the bar and didn't say nothing for a long while there. And then all of a sudden, she picked up her pack of cigarettes, threw it on and said, okay, you got it. Yes. Who was that? Holy Spirit. I'm going to have to shorten a whole lot of things that happened because there's not time, but all I can say is, my wife and I had quite an experience of running there. Now, this all happened, and we went to the Brownsville revival.
So you really think God showed up in Brownsville?
Oh, yes, he did.
Anybody ever been to Brownsville?
Okay. So I'm standing in line, hot, like it is here, and it's looking for almost like it's going to be at least an hour and a half before I get inside. I'm standing there, and I hear this lady behind me talking about how bad she was and so forth. And I just, ma'am, would you like me to pray for you? Yeah. So what I do, I reach out, I touch, I pray, and she's gone. And three other people around. Healed. Went to another revival not too far from our house in Omaha, Nebraska. Some reason, somebody always asked me to do something. I know who's involved, the Holy Spirit. Had a lady, she had fallen and actually literally broke her leg, literally broke where it was crooked. I walked over, they were hovering around, I reached down, laid my hand. I felt the leg go together.
One of the hallmarks of the Azusa Street Revival is that people would come in with twisted bones, twisted backs, and the glory would come and you start hearing bones pop across just in the glory. That's what happens when the glory comes. That's what he's talking about.
And then after this, the pastor wanted me to become his associate, be a pastor. I'm with Assembly of God.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had been married before this wife. Well, and the pastor really wanted me to be that. And so we asked Assembly, no. Literally couldn't because I had been married before. You can't be a pastor.
Okay. I think it's amazing how we can forgive murderers, but those...
I had a little relief there. I was getting out of being a pastor. Went back, and the pastor said, well, what if we just go to Open Bible and see if they will? And allow you to do it with me being your teacher for 1 year. 2 years. See, I forgot a whole year of it already. And so we went. I figured they ain't going to do that, you know. They did. So here I am. I'm licensed under Open Bible, and I wind up beginning to become a pastor in Assembly God under a magnificent pastor. Taught me a lot of things. What taught me more than anything is the work of the Holy Spirit. I ran into things that you couldn't even imagine. First thing he gave me while he turned over the hospital visits to me, get a call.
Write that down.
Yeah.
Write that down.
I go to the hospital, and it happened to be a Catholic hospital. And whoa. And the family that come to me, the mom had never been baptized, and they want to know if I'd baptize them in a Catholic part of the hospital church. Sure. So I went in, I just asked them which way you want it sprinkled, or you want me to dunk her. I mean, you know, I just, don't laugh. That's
for an extra $100, we'll hold her down.
So I baptized her. Boy, we got a call, pastor got a call. I was getting chewed out for baptism. I wasn't allowed to do that. Well, God allowed me. Holy Spirit allowed me. I guess my life and what everything I walked out, what I'm still going to walk out, and I recommend it to every single person. I walk out daily with the Holy Spirit.
Come on. There's the key.
If you want to get power and you want to get know God and get to know Jesus, the way you're going to get to know is through the Holy Spirit. How important was the Holy Spirit to Jesus? I tell you what, when Jesus hit this ground, that Holy Spirit was there. He went into the desert with him. He was with him the entire time. When Jesus' time was up to leave,
come on,
he said, I have to go that I may send you your helper. Well, there must have been something very important there that they had to separate, and Jesus had to go in order to send him back. He would not leave Jesus' side. He was giving us an example of what we are to be. The Holy Spirit with us, through us, serving Jesus and the Father God. His disciples received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's the best gift I've ever had. So I've sat here for quite a while in this church, and I haven't heard a lot about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I haven't heard it asked. I haven't heard a lot of people talk about the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you, start talking. Because when the Holy Spirit shows up, and you guys want it and are hungry enough, that's when you're going to see what you want is revival.
Yep.
That's when you're going to see the real power of God operating in front of you. That's going to be when you see moving this to some big auditorium to take care of the people that's slain and laid out on the floor. Come. We've been in it. We've done it. Yes. And I'm going to quit because if I don't, we won't get to eat.
Wow. Listen, how many heard what he said? We as a church, I'm sitting on the beach yesterday. Where am I leading? Where am I taking? Where are we going? And I am now turning the bow, and we are pointing in pursuit of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm telling you, when He comes, now He comes for salvation, but then He comes to visit. You know, the visitation when He comes is what we're looking for. That's what Ken is talking about. Listen, these two have tasted revival. They've pastored, what, since a long time?
20 years?
Yeah. They're not novice at it. Okay? God has sent them here not just to make pork, but I understand it's really good. But God is saying, are you really hungry for the things of the kingdom? It will be served up through the Holy Ghost. He is a person. And it's time to get refilled if you have been filled, because some of you have absolutely leaked. You've leaked. You've lost your first love. You've lost your passion. I'm sitting on the beach and I'm saying, God, that's me. What have I done? But here's the thing is because I had a learning disability and I couldn't read. The first thing I was introduced by the Holy Spirit was that He was a teacher. I read at a second grade level, had this encounter with God and said to Jesus, how can I know you if I can't read? And He says, the Holy Spirit's a teacher. And so I would get up every morning. He says, give me an hour every morning and the Holy Spirit will teach you to read and know who I am. And I got up every morning for 6 months and gave Him an hour. And He taught me to read. The spelling still hasn't worked, but reading is pretty good. But what I'm saying is, I know Him as a teacher. I've experienced Him in great power and glory. I've seen Him corporately just go over a whole congregation in a scenario that scared the snot out of me.
The first time I preached in an all-black church in South Carolina, the glory cloud of God came in. The Holy Spirit was speaking through me. And I did an altar call, and this seven-foot guy comes running up to get a hug. I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's going to kill me. He said, God told me if I could hug the white man, he'd heal me. Come on. He's so funny. But there's got to be more of an emphasis in this house. I don't do a good teaching on how to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost because, see, I'm a little black and white with it. If you want him, you'll surrender. He'll show up. The problem, you won't surrender, and I just slap you around. That's probably not the best way to receive the Holy Ghost. But we have some people here don't know how to do it. Some of you do not speak in tongues. Some of you have not had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have, and it's gone dormant. And your walk is lukewarm, and you're lethargic. Says, I was praying about this. I need to lose some weight. Thank you, Jesus. And I know that. And the Lord says, quit looking for a diet and let me give you self-control. Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. I'm like, that's a revelation. And then we have eat day. And I'm going to have self-control and not go first. As the senior leader here, I'm pleased with where we're at, but I'm not satisfied enough to stay here. We're going to pursue the fullness of the Holy Spirit and all of his attributes. Listen, let me tell you what God said to me yesterday on the beach. Tell him to pursue the nine that you see in Scripture, and I have a lot more behind that. See, all those gifts, the gifts of miracles, the gift of working miracles, all those comes by what? The Spirit. So as we pursue the Holy Spirit and we allow the paraclete, it's actually the paraclete, one who walks like your girlfriend or boyfriend, hand in hand, arm in arm. Listen, when you walk with him that way, and I'll never forget the day he taught me this. I said something derogatory and offensive, and I felt him pull away. And I walked, and I was missing my friend. I was missing my friend. I said, "What happened?" He goes, I don't like your language." Was my salvation in jeopardy? No, my relationship was. And I went and I repented. And we walked, and he started showing me, oh, see that person there? Yeah, they have a bad back. Just go lay your hands right there. Boom, they get healed. Go into a restaurant. So look in the restaurant. What are you serving up in this place? And find out who you're going to prophesy to next. Why? Because he's my friend. Because he always wants to demonstrate how good the Father is. Always wants to demonstrate how good the Father is. And he needs you to understand that you're the vehicle he wants to do it in. But listen, as we pursue that, I believe we're going to cross a timeline or something that God goes, okay. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. When it happens, I'm not going to try to explain it. Because I'm just gonna hide in the glory. I'm gonna hide in the glory. But I'm telling you, it's time for people to just break out in a prophetic song in tongues. It's time to hear what God is saying. I went into a vision of, I walked into somebody's house. I know this person. They're not believers. They're actually lesbians, and they have a little girl who's got a club foot. And I know them, and I saw this. This Lord says, He says, "Do you think I love this little baby enough to usurp all of the natural resistances? Would you be able to just hold her and ask the lesbian mom, the lesbian dad, I guess. I don't know what they are. Can I ask my friend to pray for her? I saw this." He said, "Just introduce me as your friend. Let me do the work. Introduce me as your friend and let me do the work. Stop all the other chatter in your head of the reasons why I can't heal somebody or touch somebody or feel somebody. Just introduce me as your friend. The problem is we haven't been that friendly, Charlie. You've been too busy. You've been too man-pleasing. You've been too performance-based. You've been too worried about the bills. You've been too worried about the wife. You've been too worried about the kids. You've been too worried about it." He said, "If you would focus on me being your best friend, you'll have to stay full. And when I am your friend, I will show you the secrets of God's heart, of the Father's heart. That's when the miracles come. That's when the healings come. That's when the self-control comes. That's the best diet plan. Because I hate rules. I hate rules. Don't tell me I can't eat that. Watch this. I actually, because the entrepreneur thing of making money, I know there's a lot of people like me, and I wanted to like have a salad dressing company, more calories. That'd be the title. More fat. Make your wife mad. Sauce. You see, that's that rebellion. I can make money because I know there's a lot of rebellious people out there. I can sell that. But no, I'm going to make Jesus my friend, the Holy Ghost my best friend, and I'm going to start being full of the Spirit. At the beach yesterday, the Lord says, "Introduce them. They're solid. They have history. And he walks with the Holy Spirit." She's saved, right? Yeah, she's good too. She cooks. No, I understand she preaches, but okay. I love you too. What I'm saying is, we went out to dinner with him, and I really think at heart, would you consider yourself revivalist? When you look at, you hear their stories and their pursuit and where they're at, what God's up. Dude, God not showing up ain't going to work. Me either. And I think it's time. It's time. If you need to go sit in somebody's living room until you get what you need, it's time to do it. If you need to sit in front of the deliverance team and say, "Whatever idol I got in me," Mike's preaching in a couple weeks, "Whatever idol I got in me, get it out of the way. The Holy Spirit has to be my best friend." When he's your best friend, you'll have more wisdom than you know what to do with. When he's your best friend, you'll have more favor than you know what to do with. And the world will persecute you. That's what he said. He prepared that. What he said is, listen, the world's going to kick you in the teeth. But I've prepared you that if you will obey my teachings, you will teach them. Salvation, baptism, Holy Ghost, know who Jesus is, know who the Father is, walk in purity and holiness. That's revival. And so I sick you guys on them. I sick you guys on them. More than once, he's come to me, encouraged me about the Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost at all, but I'm going to tell you my gift. I don't don't know how to preach getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I didn't go through the five steps of Shandong grabbing your tongue and Honda. I just got desperate enough as God, if you don't fill me, kill me. And it just happened. It just poofed. No one laid hands on me. God laid hands on me. Okay, so, you know, I know there's a formula. I know there's a way. I believe with all my heart. I think you carry the ability to lay hands on people for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you got that, it's time to do it. Because I'll just try to prophesy you into holiness. But it's time. And I don't want to put Pentecostal on the back of the on the top of the building. I just want the glory to become the attractant. I want the love to become the attract. I want the miracles to become the dinner bell of the gospel. And I'm getting flagged down. Land the plane. Land the plane. Did you hear our hearts? Listen, did you hear our hearts? Do you hear where we're going? Quit talking. Did you hear where we're going? Some of your criticisms, some of your attitudes, some of your rejections will go away when he's your best friend and you're filled with the Holy Ghost. He's a seal. Stand up. Say, Ken, Diana, Jeff, we need you. And you don't know it yet, but you need us. We receive you. And we're going to eat your food today. So you thank you for the sacrifice you brought first.
And you're going to eat ours, I'm sorry. We'll pray for you afterwards.
But I do, there's value here. There's value here. And listen, sometimes God will send somebody in for just a quick season to give what you want. And sometimes they stay a lifetime. And that's up to God. But there's something in these people that I need. And my wife is giving me more instructions. But what I'm saying is, every time he's encouraged me, he's pointed me to the Holy Spirit. I've noticed that. And I'm pointing you to the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit is pointing himself to some of you. We need more of the Holy Spirit in the quietness of our day. And it says, and the Holy Spirit anointed different people for different skill sets in the workplace. You become a better performer when the Holy Spirit is your best friend. You'll fight with your spouse differently when he's your Holy Spirit, is your best friend. So, Father, I thank you. We thank you that you said he would come, and he has come, but we're asking him to come again. Visit me one more time, two more times, three more times, whatever it takes. We ask you to bless this food that's been prepared. We thank you for those that are serving and putting out tables. And I know someone's going to help them in Jesus' name. I'm okay with Susie. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.